welcome to Witchy Woman Podcast. This is episode 5, and I am your host, Danae Sweet. Today, we'll be talking first about meditation. I had posted a question to the group, the Witchy Woman Podcast group on Facebook, as to what you guys would like to hear me talk about, and meditation was the most popular voted on subject. So that's the subject for today. I do have a little bit more, but I want to start out with this because I do think it's super important. I am an avid meditator. I try to meditate daily. Of course, life gets in the road. I'm a mom. I have a business and a husband, and life happens. So sometimes I don't get it in, but I really do try. Even 5 minutes makes me feel better. I really like to go about 20 to 30, but 5 minutes, if that's all I can fit in, that's what I will do. Okay, so I wanted just to start out by telling you about this report by the CDC and the Prevention's National Center for Health Statistics. They said that the number of children and adults meditating regularly has risen significantly in the last 5 years. And to me, that means something. It means people are wanting to do something that benefits their mind, their spirit, something that doesn't have a bad side effect, that's not a pill or an instant fix. And I find that very, 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 very cool. And also, I think it, for me, I think that it's more popular because it's really accessible. There are literally thousands of videos on YouTube for guided meditations. All you have to do is type into the YouTube search bar guided meditations and you'll never run out. There's music to meditate with that's on YouTube. You can buy it as well. There's various apps for phones that you can use to meditate and actually create a regular practice. It gives you accountability. It gives you notifications. Hey, you need to meditate. Have you done that yet? which I think is cool. And there's really just tons of information online about meditation and how to start taking part in it. One of the questions that I get is, I'm not religious, can I still meditate? Absolutely. Meditation can have religious or spiritual dogma, or it can have absolutely nothing to do with that. It can have benefits to the practitioner regardless of whether it's a spiritual practice or strictly a wellness routine for you. Either way, it has benefits. I was doing some research about meditation and kind of where it came from, and I did find that the word meditation comes from the Latin word meditatio. I'm probably saying that wrong. Sorry. Verb form is meditare, meaning to link, contemplate, to think, contemplate, devise, or ponder. I'm really tired, so if I stumble over my words, I'm sorry. I watched like a scary movie marathon with my daughter over the weekend, and so I freaked myself out and didn't sleep well last night. So my words are not exactly on point, so sorry in advance. Back to it. The word meditatio stems from the formal process of meditation that goes back to a 12th century monk, and I'm not gonna say his name right, but it's Guigio the Second. It's G-U-I-G-O. That's a long time ago, so I kind of find that really, I don't know, kind of interesting. And the term meditation was introduced as a translation for Eastern spiritual practices referred to as dhyana in Hinduism and Buddhism, which comes from the Sanskrit root word, dhyai, meaning to contemplate. That's the most important part, is it means to contemplate. The term meditation in English, it may also point to practices from Islamic Sufism or Jewish Kabbalah and Christian hesychasm, I think is what it's how it's pronounced. I looked it up and now I can't remember, but it's hesychasm. And I really found that surprising that meditation had a link to Christianity. So I looked up what hesychasm is, and it is a mystical tradition of contemplative prayer from the Eastern Orthodox Church. And what it is, it's the process of looking within to find God. So I really found that interesting and a pretty cool link because, you know, in Buddhism, it's looking within. That's the whole, you know, you're supposed to look in. look within to better your life and to find your spirituality. And that's my purpose. One of my purposes for myself for meditating is the process of looking within to still my own mind and to heal myself and to find my higher self and my link to spirituality through meditation. So meditation has really become more widespread. And it's used in spiritual practices and without the element of spirituality or religion. So you can use meditation for spiritual purposes and for relief of conditions and for the physical benefits, such as relieving anxiety, pain, depression, stress, insomnia, and chronic illnesses, just to name a few. I really wanted to find some good statistics on meditation, and I found some at projectmeditation.org. There was a Detroit chemical plant that did a 3-year study on meditation in the workplace, and the results that they came up with were amazing. What their bottom line was, that absenteeism was down 85%, productivity was up 120%, injuries down 70%, profits up 520%. Now, I have no idea what the extenuating circumstances were outside of meditation to help the profits rise that much, but oh my gosh, that's really some amazing information that they ended up compiling, and pretty forward thinking, especially, I was thinking a Detroit chemical plant that put meditation in their workplace, that just to me didn't go hand in hand, but it's amazing. So just to show you how popular and important meditation has been to the research community, there's been over 1,500 separate studies done on meditation since 1930. So clear back in 1930, they recognized that, hey, meditation is a thing. Maybe we should do some research and figure out what the benefits actually are. And throughout some of these studies, these are the benefits that they had found. That 75% of insomniacs that engage in daily meditation are able to fall asleep within 20 minutes. Stress hormone cortisol was down. Improved PMS symptoms after 5 months of daily meditative practice. So that one, you really got to commit, but it's worth it if you have bad PMS symptoms. Thickness of artery walls were down, which lowers the risk of heart attack or stroke by 8 to 15%. 60% of anxiety-prone people showed great improvements. They didn't give me like a measurement on the improvement or how they figured that out, but 60% were shown great improvement. Heart rate, respiration, and oxygen consumption were all lowered. Overall, people were less anxious and nervous, and they were more independent and self-confident. I really found those benefits to be freaking awesome. Like, it's I know people are so tired of me, my friends, my family, everybody that knows me knows that I will tell them at some point they need to meditate for something that they are complaining about. So this just backs it up. I really do love the sciencey stuff that backs up alternative wellness practices. So I do have just a bit more on some studies that show the effects of meditation on the brain. And this comes from the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health. And I will link this article in the blog post that goes with this podcast, okay? So they found that in 2012, there was a study done, and they took brain images from 50 adults who meditated and 50 who do not meditate. Results were that the people who meditate have more folds in the outer layer of the brain, which raises the brain's ability to process information. To me, that's awesome. Like, it actually grew more folds in your brain by meditating. In 2013, there was a review of 3 different studies, and that found that meditation may stall, slow, and even reverse the changes in the brain due to aging. So, get to meditating. And in 2012, there's another study found that meditation can affect the amygdala, which processes emotions, and different types of meditation can affect the amygdala differently, even when the person is not meditating. So the effects of meditation on the amygdala can go farther than when you're actually meditating. So I found that really, really interesting. All right, so Now we can talk about meditation as it pertains to spirituality in my experiences. I'm not religious. I do not follow any strict dogma as far as my spiritual practice. And in my meditation practice, I don't have any really set rules either. I can lay down, sit on a chair or on the floor. To me, it really doesn't matter as long as I'm comfortable. I do make sure that I don't have my legs crossed, my arms crossed. I try to keep my legs parallel. I like to make sure that my energetic lines are not crossed. In some faiths, physical posture and hand positions do play a large part in meditation, but that's not for me, and I'm not going to go into that because it's not something that I'm an expert in, and it would make this podcast way too long to go over all of the different types of meditation that include postures. So you got the Google for that. So I started meditating in the beginning for insomnia. I had been on various medications to help me sleep and to keep me asleep, but I hated the side effects. They made me feel like crap the next morning, or they would make me have like crazy bad dreams, and I hated it. And I was really at a point in my life that I wanted to get rid of as many medications as I possibly could, and I felt like this one was not an essential medication if I could figure out how to do it, how to make myself sleep otherwise. So I figured meditation has no bad side effects and it couldn't hurt to try. So I started with some self-hypnosis recordings, actually, and this was before I was at a hypnotherapist. And after 1 week, I was sleeping much better and I was staying asleep. So after that, I decided I wanted to explore it a bit, and I started searching for meditations on YouTube to listen to. And of course, you get bombarded with a gazillion of them. And I really was interested because I found out that many of the videos that included spirituality in your meditation, and that really sparked my interest. So I started out with the ones to open the third eye. Yeah, I know, not exactly original, but it's the popular chakra. So I started doing that, and after that I made it a point to pick a guided meditation to do every morning. I realized after a while my anxiety was lessening, my headaches were less because my stress was less, and I wasn't scrunching up my forehead as much either. I felt calmer, more clear-minded, and definitely more connected to humanity in a way I had never experienced before. So, yep, meditation was my gateway drug to spirituality for sure. I wasn't deep into any spiritual practice when I started, but at that time I really was searching and yearning for some sort of way to satisfy that part of me. I felt like there was something missing, and this filled that gap and then opened me up to a whole new world of spirituality and connection that I didn't ever think was possible or even really think of. So for me, the daily meditations came with a deeper understanding of what spirituality meant to me. I learned a ton about myself by just being still and meditating. I had never experienced such clarity on what I wanted out of life after meditating for a couple months. I was clear in my path. I was clear in my boundaries. It really transformed my life. And those that are close to me can probably like pinpoint the month and year when they saw a change, because for me it was profound. I went from being one person and then, you know, within a month or two being a much better person. I wasn't a different person. I was just a much better human being after I started meditating regularly. So when I tell my friends and my family to meditate, I'm sure I sound like a brokered record, but really, 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 it is a game changer. So start. So for those who aren't meditating, just go do it. 5 minutes is plenty to start out with. There are phone apps to try that you can, that help with developing a daily practice. I like Headspace. It's easy and it's a no-frill type way of going about, getting it started for you. I did find a list of apps. So according to Healthline.com, these are the best meditation apps of 2018. Okay, so we've got the mindfulness app, Headspace, Calm, MindBody, Buddhify, like BUDDHIFY, Insight Timer, Smiling Mind, and Meditation Timer Pro. The big step is just getting started. Really just making yourself sit down and do it for the first time. I recommend starting out with like 4 out of 7 days, okay? And then increasing your number of days per week as you get comfortable with your practice. So start out small, something attainable. Make a goal that you can reach. Don't say that I've never meditated before. I'm going to do 30 minutes a day every day, because that's not usually setting yourself up for success. So this can take weeks or months for you to settle in and really start developing your practice. But it's not a race. So take as much time as you want. This is a 100% a self-care practice. So pace yourself and do what's best for you, okay? 5 minutes a time is plenty at first, and then you can just increase as you go. You may like music, you may like guided meditations, or plain silence. You do you. For me, I bounce back and forth between music, drumming, and guided meditations. I guess I should explain what a guided meditation is for those of you who are completely new to all of this. Guided meditations are recordings with someone talking to you. They talk you through relaxing and then guiding you through a story that has a purpose. So an example of that would be a guided meditation to release stress. The meditation would most likely be full of metaphors directed at releasing whatever is weighing you down, whatever you're worrying about. These are great for those who need direction and like purpose behind their meditations. It gives you a purpose for sitting down for those 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 or whatever you got going on. I love them and I use them often. I'm really a visual person, so when I go into these and I relax, I can visualize these really easy. I like the imagery of the whole thing. I like the story. I found that I tend to mostly use Jason Stevenson on YouTube. His meditations are very much structured like a hypnotherapy session. So I feel like I can get really relaxed and go really deep when I use them. So I really recommend him. You just search Jason Stevenson Meditations on YouTube and his channel will pop up. I also really like drumming music. It's something that really gets me into a trance. And I'll use whatever I find on YouTube and just sit with my eyes closed, focusing on the beat. And I will just sit and listen to that drumming, and it really can get me into a state of mind where my mind is still. All it is floating around listening to the beat. And then there's music that's targeting specific chakras and intentions. There's just so much. So just play with it. Go on YouTube and search guided meditations or music meditation. And see what resonates with you. Just start trying them. You can type in 5-minute meditation on YouTube and there's tons of them. So just start. Let's talk about difficulties most people have when meditating. The most common thing I hear is, I can't stop my thoughts. The goal isn't to stop your brain from having thoughts. It's to release expectation of thought. If you find your mind wandering, just acknowledge the thought and then focus on your breath. The more you focus on not thinking, the more the thoughts will come flooding in. So you get the reverse effect. As soon as you say, I'm not going to do this, that's what you're going to do. So releasing expectations to me just means to let things come without controlling them. If you need to count breaths in and out, do so. I really like to focus on my breath at first and how it feels going in and then going out. What the temperature is, how my body feels. I anchor my thoughts to my physical sensations for a bit, and that can still my mind. Another thing I hear is, I can't make myself do it every day. Then don't do it every day. Do it every other day for a bit. But really, 5 minutes a day isn't much of a commitment. It's sitting with yourself and giving yourself that time to relax and start a wellness practice that will benefit you immensely. You don't have to meditate for an hour and a half, or an hour, or even 20 minutes. You just do what's comfortable for you. I like morning meditations because it sets my day out right. Any anxiety I have about what's to come can just be set aside and my mind can be free for a bit. I also do them at night in my bed. I like to use them to free my mind from whatever the day brought me and whatever I'm worried about or still trying to work through. It can put that all to rest and allow me to relax and go to sleep. So now let's talk about meditation and witchy stuff. Okay, I meditate when I do rituals, from full moon phases work to Sabbats. I like to center myself and really set my intention using meditation. Sometimes I pick a guided meditation I found online, or more often, I'll just sit with some candles lit and some drumming or music in the background, and I just sit and I still my mind. I really like to use meditation time to prepare my energy for whatever I'm about to do. This may take 5 minutes or 30 minutes. I just go with whatever feels right. I use a meditative state to do my energy work on myself as well. So I'll meditate to cleanse my energy using Reiki on myself, to balance my chakras, to set up energetic boundaries for myself or my space, or just to center myself quickly when I'm having a bad day. So I guess that pretty much sums up all I wanted to get to about on meditation. Seriously, feel free to ask questions on our group, Witchy Woman Podcast, or Instagram or Twitter. If you have any questions about it, just say something. Okay, so I want to talk about a book I just read because it was fantastic. I recently finished the book Rules of Magic by Alice Hoffman. I had bought it really quite a while ago and read the first couple pages, and something made me put it down. Like, I felt like I just didn't want to read it yet. And so I put it down, and I really hadn't thought about it. And I don't know, lately I've just been down in the dumps. The winter weather and the lack of fun really has taken its toll on me. I haven't been throwing myself into ritual and my practice like I used to. Basically, I've just been stuck in a low vibration. And the other day, I was picking through books and I saw this one, and I went straight to my room and I just started reading. And I could barely put it down. I know it's fiction, but it's exactly what I needed to fuel, like, my passion. It really did. The images of the sisters' shop and the herbs and concoctions they created, it just inspired me and breathed life into my spirit for a bit. And I try to do things by feeling, you know? So I make decisions based on what it feels right at what feels right at that time. And I jump without looking sometimes because I feel like spirit says jump. And I didn't read that book at the time I bought it because something told me I shouldn't. And well, it's seriously, when I finally did read it, it was perfectly timed. It is exactly what I needed. I needed that bit of fun, witchy fiction just to make me smile. Man, I cried. And I really did see that spark of passion in myself again. So thank you to Alice Hoffman for that enchanting book. I really, really needed it. And if anybody else hasn't read it yet, please go get it. You won't regret it. It was amazing. It's the prequel to Practical Magic, and I'm going to go reread Practical Magic now. So what book have you guys been reading? I want to know what you've been reading lately and what got you going. Anything inspiring? Let me know. I love books and I'm always looking for recommendations. So post your newest read on Twitter. You can get me there at Danae_sweet_. So that's DANAE_SWEET_. Or you can DM me on Instagram at Sage Stone and Candle, or at our new group on Facebook, The Witchy Woman Podcast. I thought it would be fun to do like an herb segment. So I picked mugwort or Artemisia vulgaris as the first herb we would go over. Other names for mugwort are cronewort, common wormwood, wild wormwood, felon herb, St. John's plant, chrysanthemum weed, sailor's tobacco, moxa, Artemis herb, naughty man, old Uncle Henry, and muggins. That's a lot of different names. Mugwort is a member of the daisy family and can grow from 3 to 6 feet tall. That's really tall. I had no idea that it could grow that tall once I started researching it. I found that really interesting. It has a purplish stem, which I love since one of my favorite colors is purple. It blooms from July to September, and if you're going to grow it, it loves lots of sunshine and is a pretty hardy plant. Just be sure not to overwater it. It said it does not like to have wet feet. You should harvest mugwort right before it flowers and hang it upside down by the stem to dry. Fun fact, before hops, mugwort was used to flavor beer. And for this purpose, though, you need to harvest it while it's in flower. Mugwort is a topical anesthetic and antibacterial and has antifungal properties. It's said to be an insect repellent, can relieve itching, and is often used to get rid of warts. In combination with ginger and a tea, it can be used to ease menstruation symptoms. It's a mild sedative and has antispasmodic properties. In Europe, it's used to strengthen labor contractions and help expel afterbirth. It's also been used to get rid of pinworms and other parasites. It's really, really got a ton of cool uses. In combination with other ingredients, mugwort root is used for mental problems, fatigue and depression, hypochondria, general irritability, restlessness, trouble sleeping, and anxiety. And there are some warnings for mugwort. Please do not use mugwort if you're pregnant. It may cause a miscarriage because it can start menstruation and also cause a uterus to contract. You should not take mugwort for more than 1 week at a time and give your body a couple weeks rest before taking it again, because large amounts and prolonged use can cause liver damage. So please use mugwort with caution. As for spiritual uses, mugwort is associated with the feminine. It's closely associated with Artemis, who gives comfort to women in labor. It's associated with the moon and, in turn, the reproduction cycle of womanhood. Its planetary correspondence is Venus and is ruled by either Taurus or Libra. Some people smoke it or use it in a tea for divination purposes or protection. You can use it in incense form as well for those purposes. It's known as a dream herb, inducing prophetic dreams and also assisting with astral projection. It opens up your third eye and crown chakras, enabling the practitioner to the ability to receive messages and connect to their spirituality a little bit easier. You may have seen the name black sage in stores, and that is another word for mugwort. When I looked up the uses and where to get it, I did see that most of the time it was the name that was listed as black sage instead of mugwort. So I found that interesting. For me, I like it in a tea blend. If I'm going to have a long day of readings, I will take a cup of this to start my day and maybe a cup in the afternoon. It really makes me less anxious or nervous, and it opens up myself and my energy to receiving messages for clients. It's great for rituals as well to get you in that mindset and relax your body. So I think that's all I've got for mugwort. If you have any questions, again, please feel free to contact me on one of the social media platforms that we've got going on. I want to thank everybody for sticking with me that has listened from day one to now. I really appreciate you. Please do not forget to follow me. So hit follow on Podbean, on iTunes, and Google Play. I'm on all of those platforms. If you feel called, please rate me. If you give me a rating, it helps in the search listings and helps people find me. So rate me, give me a review. I would really, really appreciate it. And send me a message. I would love for somebody to contact me and ask me questions. If you have any feedback about the episodes, I really, really appreciate those. I have gotten some, and I seriously, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate that so much, because it makes me feel like I'm not talking to like the nothing. So I appreciate that so much. So I guess I will wrap this up, and I will see you next week for episode 6. If you would like to contact me, please get me on Twitter at Danae_sweet_. Or you can get me at our new Facebook group, The Witchy Woman Podcast. Click to join and you can PM me there. You can also get me on Instagram through my business, Sage Stone and Candle, and you can DM me there. I would appreciate any and all feedback, and thank you again so much for listening. Okay, until next time, bye-bye.